seems like quite a good opportunity to introduce C.B. Patel, who's with us today. It seems very, very, I couldn't have set that up better myself, actually. For two reasons, really. Mr. Patel is well known to many of you because he heads up a large number of Asian business and general newspapers. But he has a second role as well, in as much he's been extremely supportive to this project in early discussions and a visit here to see some of the documents here. He has been very supportive and keen to offer what help he could. And so with those two reasons in mind, we'd like to invite him to come up and speak to us, please. And I would also like to invite Sharad, who actually introduced us to Mr. Patel, to introduce him.
Thank you. Steve Patel, about us Gujarati akhbar chalave che, dar athvadiye, e ghana badha Gujarati parivaro sathe bahu najik thi male che. અને મીડિયા સાથે કામ કરવાના કારણે એમને ઘણા બધા લોકો સાથે સતત મળવાનું રહેતું હોય, અમિતાભ બચ્ચનથી માંડી મુરારી બાપુથી માંડી નરેન્દ્ર મોદીથી માંડી એના એમપીઓ કિશોર બાકી બધા એક સ્પંજ તરીકેની પર્સનાલિટી જ્યારે હોય ત્યારે ઘણી બધી વસ્તુઓ સરસ સરસ એમણે એકઠી કરી છે. અને એમનો ભૂતકાળ ઘણો બધો આફ્રિકા સાથે બહુ નજીકનો રહેવાના કારણે આ પ્રોજેક્ટને બહુ સરસ રીતે સમજવાની એક માનસિકતા એમની છે. એ રીતે આફ્રિકાની ઘણી બધી વાતો આપણે ઘણા બધા લોકો આપણા પોતાના પર્સ્પેક્ટિવથી વાત કહેતા હોઈએ. શક્ય છે કે એક લિમિટેડ પાયથી એ વાત થતી હોય, એક ચોક્કસ દ્રષ્ટિકોણથી વાત થતી હોય, પણ જ્યારે ગ્લોબલ અને 360 ડિગ્રી જેને કહેવાય એવી રીતે વાત કરવા માટે થઈને થયું કે સીબી એક બહુ રાઇટ માણસ હોઈ શકે, એટલે એ રીતે એમની પસંદગી થઈ છે. તો હું એમને આવકારું છું. અને ઇન્ડિયન સબ કોન્ટિનેન્ટના ઘણા બધા સ્વજનો આજે સાથે છે. કેટલાક વડીલો પાકિસ્તાનથી છે, કેટલાક બાંગ્લાદેશથી છે, અને આવી રીતે જુદા જુદા ખૂણેથી આવેલા યુગાન્ડાના કારણે જે લોકો અહીંયા એકઠા થયા છે એ લોકો સાથે વાતો કરવાની આ બહુ એક સરસ મજાની તક હતી. તો સીબી પટેલને આપણે આવકારીએ. થેન્ક યુ.
Tell the secret of your memory.
What you prefer?
Can I ask this young lady to come here, and also please Yasmin, for two reasons. Come here quickly. Look, first of all, I'm delighted to be here. I thought I'm going to this very important event, but I am glad I met two girls or two ladies with Baganda background. She's a Baganda lady and she's a Baganda girl. In Uganda, there were four kingdoms. And I must say that the way you organize and the way you are dressed, Yasmin, if your father allows me, I'm prepared to adopt you as a daughter. thank you very much. Actually, I would like to express my tremendous pleasure. Please sit down now. Thank you very much. I'm really delighted to be here. It's a nice location. Weather is nice. The discussion and the question answer and I comments also, I think, was very revealing. So I want to compliment and congratulate Archives for this very important event. Yes, we talk about expulsion, but let's not forget, please, that this is also the 9th October. 50 years ago, Uganda became independent. And I think we must thank that country for whatever they have given. Of all the countries in Africa, Uganda was described by Winston Churchill in 1905 as the pearl of Africa. And I've been to Uganda, even recently also. I think we'll talk about expulsion and other things in a minute, because I'll talk about yesterday, today, and perhaps tomorrow. Have I got full time up to 12:30, madam?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I won't try to bore you, but I will try to make it as informative, as interactive, and as inspiring as possible. I don't believe in crying about yesterday. I think there are lessons to be learned. But think for a moment that in the, yes, that lady was not wrong about some Asians, some Indians, who were not fair and gave justice to the black Africans. But they were exceptions rather than rule. If you look at the whole history and people like Yasmin Aribai Brown, who is one of the Ugandans, who writes so frequently. And I've also done some statistical work. Yes, there were people, if you look at the autobiography of Manubhai Madhwani, Nandi Kalidas Mehta, book by Balwant Kotecha and many more, Balwant Nayak, there were some rascals amongst us, but they were very few. I would say almost 95% of the Asians in Uganda were as honorable as we are. And we have done tremendous input, not only in terms of economic participation, in culture. Even if you go now, I was in Jinja. I know that Hemaben from Jinja, Hemaben Rameshbhai, you come from Jinja? Also, of course. Then there is also a girl here, lady here called Meena Koteja. Will you hand up, please? There are so many people I know you personally. I know you want to know Rati Bhai and his mother also. Jafar Kapasi, where were you born? In Hoima? See, I know that much. The Jafar Kapasi and Bora families were in Hoima. But let's go back to the fact. Uganda, there were four kingdoms before the British went there. So Uganda was a civilized country. There was a sort of government. Africa was not all dark continent. Let's be clear about it. British went there. And perhaps people don't realize that the train connection directly with Mombasa only happened in 1931. It was done between Nairobi and Mombasa. It happened very quickly. Uganda independence movement, if you know the history, Indians, I mean, of course, 73-74% of Asians in Uganda were of Indian background. I should have said at the beginning, Namaskar. Good morning, Tasrikar, Salaam Alaikum. But then Hindus, I would say Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Siyaram, Jai Mataji, Om Namah Shivaya. But let me be, JP, I like your speech. JP Agarwal, I know for about 10,000 years. I like his dress sense, and you look very handsome when you come on stage. But I deliberately made you smile a bit more. Because earlier in some questions, there was some emotional thing. But let me go back. You sang that Malaika. Am I right? Yes. Rosaline, you are born, brought up in Uganda?
No.
Where were you born?
I was born in India, Madhya Pradesh.
Well, but you sang so beautifully. I tell you, oh, it is such a nice song. And you almost made me feel, because I was also in East Africa for many years, before I came here 46 years ago.
10 over 10 to Rosaline.
Rosaline, we will have to take you on some television one day. equally, where is that young, well-dressed person called Muazzin?
Muazzin,
why don't you stand up? I want to know. This guy is a versatile. If you don't look at his face, he looks like Indian minister. But the song, it is there in both Hindi, Urdu and English. And only two lines I would like to chant. It will give us a different dimension, different perspective. One, Phir bhi dilo mein hai chahate. Uganda, for those who were born there. Or even Uganda now. Uganda now is also a very developing country, very fast. Indians are very well treated. I was there a few years ago. Today, thank you very much, Muazzin. But I will talk about another sentence. Phir bhi dilo mein hai chahate, because jinda rahti hai unki mohabbat. Look, let us look at the positive part of life. We suffered. And without doubt, somebody talked about 30% of Ugandans were rich. I won't say even 30%. Most of the Asians in Uganda were
rich.
Not rich. I'm sorry to say. They were not rich, but Raghubhai would tell you, Raghubhai, like you, I am also a former shopkeeper, I'm lawyer by training, I'm publisher now. I think in East Africa, most of the Asians used to work in menial jobs, in administration. Very few people were really, but there was no land ownership except some big farms and industry and property, but never mind. After all, that's where we were born. In our culture, we ate the salt of that land. we drank the water of that land. And whatever you might feel, in a small way, it has made us what we are. But let me go back to my agenda. If you know the freedom struggle of Uganda and how the struggle was made, Indians played a very important part, whether in Jinja or Tororo or Masaka or Mabale or Entebbe. And that's why when the independence came, Milton Obote decided to have Narendra Patel as the first speaker of Uganda. We were given four ministries also there. And numerically, we were not very many, not even 100,000 Asians. But economically and professions-wise and in arts and culture and schooling, there were a lot of things. Even now, today, if you go to Uganda, there are so many roads and so many schools built by our people. Amin came on the picture. And it was a part of life. When the democracy becomes weak, when Obote also became slightly more detached from his people, Amin took over the power. Amin was, and I think I agree with somebody who said Amin was a despot, he was a terror, he was not mad. He was a very cruel man. Yeah, I won't say that we should thank him for what he did. Because Asians, Indians suffered something. But he murdered 500,000 and more Ugandan blacks also. Yeah. And remember that we should never forget such person. And even if we think that we are better off in this country, we should thank this country for it. Not at all, even remotely, Idi Amin for it. But that was the loss of Uganda. Now, after celebrating the golden jubilee of Ugandan independence today, let me say two things. Today, Uganda is playing a very important part. Whether, because Uganda is a small country, on the west is a huge country called Democratic Republic of Congo. On the north is Sudan, though there is divided Sudan now. But Uganda army has played very heavy, paid heavy price in Horn, even in Congo, and they are very brave soldiers. And Uganda now, there are about 20,000 plus Asians, mainly Gujaratis. And I was talking to the Vice President just a few months ago and the Trade Minister. They welcome us. And it is of the few countries in Africa where there is no big hatred or intolerance of Asians or Indians. Loss of Uganda, also we must remember two things. This country was the great. People in the world have remembered what happens historically. This country had no obligation to accept anybody but British citizens. There were many British potential persons. There were many Ugandan citizens, many stateless. And remember what happened in 72 August, 4th August, if I remember rightly, when Idi Amin declared his God's message. People laughed at it. Kanti Dagda told me this morning that he was a teacher in City High School in Kampala. When he went home 4 o'clock, somebody told that this is what is going to be, this is what announced. He says it is impossible. You can't throw away all Asians out of Uganda within 90 days. But it happened. I believe the Prime Minister Edward Heath and the Home Minister Robert Carr and many others, they did a very honorable job. They are, because they are British. There were enough Powells and others, and there was a march by people from Meat Market in Smithfield. But they had the guts to do something. So let us remember that but for the large-heartedness and traditional tolerance, and Britain has accepted and accepting refugees even now. Jews came, Huguenots came, people came from Eastern European countries, even now people come from Sudan and other countries. This country is traditionally a shelter for those who are in difficulty. And we should be very remembering that. And we should also try to do the same thing for others who are in difficulty also. Let me describe how it was done. I was in Hammelmstead on Sunday. There was a similar event, about 300-400 people. And we had 2-3 case studies. Somebody mentioned about a camp near Kittering and people coming at Stansted, people came at Luton, people came at other airports. There were 12-13 camps. And I believe what happened at the time, these British people, whatever you might say, it's a very small country on the map. Why such a small country has such a big empire? Britain is not, and perhaps it may not be the richest and mightiest country in tomorrow's world, but it is a great country. they plan, they administer. So when they realize that Amin is not going to budge and people have to be evacuated, they established Uganda Resettlement Board. And they did a fantastic job. I was already here. I was reasonably settled. I had quite a few shops and quite a few properties. So I know exactly, I used to go to the camps. And it is true that most Asian, Kadubai, you are right, people did not claim benefits. Somebody mentioned about going to Rainer's Lane, to her brother's place. I think it was mentioned by Manju Ben. It is true. I went to some camps myself. But in Hamal Amtab, we talked about two cases. One was Ghanshyam Bhai Patel. He was 42. He worked for 25 years in the bank in Africa. But the camp people had all the statistical data and they analyzed. So he was first offered, on the second day, he was offered a job and residence in a place near north of Leicester. He did not want to go there. So they gave another option. And I was telling Yasmin Ben yesterday that they offered somewhere near Brighton. He said, no, my children don't like sea. And look, this is where the people were so hospitable, so far-sighted. Then he was offered that, why don't you go and visit Hemel Hempstead? It is not far from London, but it's blah, blah, blah. He went to Hemel Hempstead. They paid for, the British government paid the train fare. When he went to Hemel Hempstead, it is also on seven small hills, like Kampala. Anybody remember Kampala, those seven hills? So he said, I fell in love with you. But what was important? He was offered a residence. A job was all, because you can, Hemel Hempstead did a most honorable job, one of the most honorable job. They organized a committee, a commission from church. Christian churches got together with the Lions Club, with the Salvation Army, the town council, and some Indians were there already. So they decided to invite 30 families of Ugandan to come to Hemel Hempstead. They went there like Ghanshyam Bhai, they were invited to check out and then decide. They were given job, education, admission, and today they are thriving. And that can go on for many cases, but my clock says I have only 8 minutes left to talk about it. You see, this country has given us so much, but Ugandans especially has returned the generosity of the British people with tremendous bounty. We must not forget that today we are, I am at least, both of you feel proud to be British. We are not confused. Whether we are from India, East Africa, Hindu, Muslim, Sikh, that makes no difference. This country has given us shelter. And it has been very good to us in terms of education, health services, jobs, and many. More important, they have not only tolerated us, they have accepted us. They have encouraged us to be here what we are. So, I'll give 2-3 small examples. I had about 8 shops when 72 happened. And I know I used to tabulate how Asians are buying shops. Between January or February 73 and end of 75, at least 70,000 Asians bought shops. They were not shopkeepers or businessmen in Africa. They were ordinary middle level administrators or clerk or karani, what they call it. And we learned what is business. We, because of many factors, but because the economic environment was also good. The British shopkeeper wanted to retire. And we realized that we don't have to open from 9 to 5. I opened my shop from 7 to 11 and I made £1. So I got no regrets about it. But it was because the customer was there. But most important, our shopkeepers work very hard. There is a report, a book published called, I'm trying to remember, it was a report commissioned by Racial Equality Commission about the inner city education of 12 boroughs in the inner cities. And I wrote an article in my paper called New Life at that, an article, Asian Voice. And we gave detailed data that most of the shopkeepers were sending their children to private schools. Now, I don't talk about private and public education, but today there are 1,000, perhaps more than 10,000 youngsters, very well qualified. You go to Canary Wharf, you go to City, you go to Whitehall, you go to other. Our educated youngsters have given us tremendous pride. Shopkeepers, children, they need not be shopkeepers. We are professionals. So I think we have tried to repay the debt of this country. We cannot pay the full amount, but interest we are starting. In education, professions, business, job creation, export from this country, import substitution, and arts and culture. I believe that this camp's life, if you look at all, there's a book called Passport and Politics. When Sir Charles Cunningham was planning that camp, he was told that people might stay in the camp for a long, long time. Remember, 13 camps became 3 camps within less than 10 weeks. Like you went to your brother, people went to other places, people became to my house, and we had plenty of guests at the time. And they moved out. One custom family, now there are very big shops in Canada. They rented my place in Vivian Avenue in Wembley. And they said, look, see, I'll pay the money. Because they have some money also. So people have the pride and self-respect. How we are going to do it tomorrow? That is my final thing. The best is yet to come. If this country has been good to us, which it has, we have started the seed for doing something far better than Uganda or East Africa. It was Indian know-how, Indian blood, traditions, which developed in Africa, but before the British or Portuguese went to Africa. So I will end up this way. This is the time for this. Today is not only we celebrate the expulsion. Let us celebrate the independence of Uganda. Let us hope that that country and the people who live there now is a country of 30 million people. It's developing very fast. Fortunately for all of us, as to Uganda, there's oil and gas and many more things, not only under Ugandan soil, but also across the road in Tanzania and Mozambique also. I believe that this particular symposium today can give us 2 messages. This country accepted us, and it is our job to be loyal to this country. You know one thing? Of all the terrorism, not one person has been arrested or accused who was born, brought up in any East African, Asian communities. We are really very peace-loving, law-abiding, and I'm really very happy to be here. But let me end up with one common sense question. Our religion and caste and province which we come from is secondary. Asians as such, some people call it politically correct, South Asia or Indian subcontinent. Wherever we have been, from 1834 we were taken abroad under the indentured labor scheme, just when the abolition of slavery happened. We have gone and developed many countries, but we need not feel that we are now on transient visit here. This is our country. Somebody asked, of course, you come from different background. I ask sometimes whether I'm a Patel, Hindu, Gujarati, Indian. I'm British, pure and simple. I'm glad to be British. I'm glad that National Archive organized this thing. I'm very happy that I meet you. And I was very happy with the participation. Do you know one last thing? Most of the questions comment were by Asian women. Men were sleepy and tired. Good luck to you. Thank you very much.